You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, October 10th, and this is episode 11. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. Another weekend with a win versus Arizona, and we'll get into that here shortly. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing well. Excited to talk some Utes today.
Absolutely. So thank you, everybody, for your support. If this is your first time listening to us, thank you for tuning in. And Ute Talk podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this every week for your enjoyment. Actually, twice a week. You can find Grant and Joseph on Wednesday nights. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, all of that. And follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. Now let's get into it. So our Ute news of the week. I think the biggest one is Whittingham gets win number 100. At the game. I don't know if they showed it on the broadcast, but at the game, after win number 100, they had a video playing on the scoreboard with kind of key moments that led up to those 100 wins. A lot of great victories within that 100. 9 of those 100 are bowl wins. That's pretty phenomenal. What are your thoughts there on Whittingham getting number 100, Patrick?
I think it's awesome. Just a great coach, a great leader for those young men up on the hill. I know they gave him that jersey in the locker room that had the number 100 on it, so that was cool to see. But great accomplishment. He's truly a Utah man. I know he went to BYU, but he's transformed and made the change to a Utah man, and he's definitely deserves a statue one of these days.
Absolutely. A Utah man am I. Those words are definitely Whittingham through and through. So next kind of, maybe this is even bigger news, I guess, injuries. The injury bug has been as hard this year. What still is a promising season has been, toned down a little bit by, all of these injuries. You've got, Armand Shine going down now with the season ending. Whittingham came out and said that, it's going to take him until next spring. He'll be out all of spring ball. That is a huge blow. Jordan Howard, who was, the walk-on that came in for a few plays after Shine went down, he's down now with a little bit of an injury. And we've got a few others on the fence. What are your thoughts? Whittingham came out and said that it was the Liz Frank injury, the same one that notable players have been hurt by, and have been able to come back and have some success. But it's crazy to see all these players with the same type of injury every single time, and mainly the running backs. So what are your thoughts, Patrick?
Yeah, the injury bug's been pretty bad for the Utes this season, and that running back position went from being pretty stacked to it's thin right now. They're on their sixth string guy now. But you got to feel for Shine. Just heartbroken for him. That guy, seeing Shine in fall camp, I wasn't really that impressed, but once he got in shape, lost a little weight, he is just steadily improved.
Yeah.
Each game and gotten better, and he was really coming into his own. He looks like he was ready to have a great season and was truly a great back. And then unfortunately, he had to get hurt. I wish him the best, and hopefully he heals up quickly. It must have been pretty serious if it's going to keep him out that long. The Utes definitely got to find someone there at that running back position to step up, but the injury bug's been pretty bad. They've lost what, 5 starters this season. That's crazy. That's too much. Bad luck, or I don't know what it is.
Well, what are your thoughts with I mean, or the depth so far. I mean, for us to be able to, for us to lose so many players to season-ending injuries or, you know, a couple of games here and there, but still kind of keep just chugging along, you know, turning out the wins and grinding away. And, you know, Pac-12's working, obviously, I think. What, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, their depth has steadily improved over the years. Mm-hmm. They have guys on that second unit or even the third unit who can step up and get in there and play. You know, losing Dillman hurt, and that, you know, the center play wasn't that great last game, but you got to give it up for Nowakowski, I believe how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ever played center before, but he did a good job in the second half. First half was a little shaky, but yeah, the depth has definitely helped the Utes out a lot, especially this season with all the injuries. It's just crazy that many starters have gotten hurt, but they still continue to push through and are still having a, you know, good season right now.
Yeah. What, interesting comment at the press conference today. One of the reporters asked about Joe Williams making a return. And if we all remember, Joe Williams medically retired about a month ago. You know, he played two games during, you know, first two games of the year. Didn't have a very good start. Decided to medically retire. And, you know, there's speculation that he is coming back, or coaches want him back. you know, I mean, he would be a great addition. You know, I personally would welcome him with open arms. I think that he would add a lot to it. And, you know, it could be one of those, you know, those inspirational flicks that makes a way, you know, somewhere down the future. I mean, it's crazy that it's even a possibility, but, you know, if Joe's head is there and physically, mentally, he's ready to go. I mean, I don't see why we don't bring him in and get him out there. Even if it's, you know, 10 to 15 carries, you know, and then you mix in, you know, one of these other guys, Manalo for a couple carries, or Howard, or, you know, Moss for a couple carries when he comes back healthy. What's your speculation on Joe?
Yeah, interesting development. A lot of rumors.
Quick development,
too. Yeah, a lot of rumors. Something you didn't expect to hear today.
No.
A lot of rumors, a lot of speculation. But if, you know, if Joe Williams, you know, wanted to come back and his head and his heart were in it, you know, I would take him back in a heartbeat, because, you know, outside of, you know, a few fumbles that he have, I know people harp on him for his fumbles, but he's a good back, and he's a, you know, has the experience where he could jump in there and
absolutely,
you know, give the Utes what they need back there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would take him back in a heartbeat, but they got to make sure his head's in it, his heart's in it. And, you know, maybe taking however many weeks he's been away, 3-4 weeks or whatnot, to clear his head and, you know, rest up a little bit. Maybe that recharged him and he wants to come back. Who knows?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, he's been hanging around the facility. He's been, you know, down there on the sidelines during the games, you know, hanging out with the guys. I believe he still has a locker there. Like, I mean, you know, so he hasn't completely removed himself from the program. You know, he obviously loves the team, loves the, you know, loves his brothers out there. So it'll be an interesting development to see, you know, where that goes. So next on our list is the Utes move up to number 21. So we move up three spots, 24 to 21. Washington is the only other team ranked in the AP poll at number 5. If we're looking at the coaches poll, ASU, Arizona State, is number 24 in the coaches poll. So, I don't know what to think of it there. I mean, I kind of asked this question, and we can get to it, you know, for our UQs, but, you know, it almost seems as if the Pac-12 is starting to cannibalize itself even more so this year.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. teams are, you know, even you look at, you know, Oregon State beating Cal on Saturday, mm-hmm. and just teams are, everybody's getting beat by everybody. It's mm-hmm. pretty much every week is any team's game.
Yeah.
To win. So, you know, Utes at 21, I think that's a good spot for them right now. I'd love to see them move up and have Washington, you know, be top five, and Utes, who knows, top 15, and see how that game goes.
That'll be an interesting one for sure. So next on our news, Night of the Running Utes. It's their, I believe their scrimmage that they do, if I remember correctly. And that's going to be on October 18th at 7 p.m. Up at the Huntsman Center. yeah, so come out and support the Running Utes. I mean, another big season for the Utes and Larry Koskoviak. You know, should be exciting. I've been a season ticket holder with them for several years now as well. And, you know, the games have steadily grown in attendance year to year. And, you know, everybody's more and more excited each year to see them play. Which kind of brings us in out of our Ute news and into our first topic with the roster. A lot of new faces. A lot. You know, we obviously last year, we lost Jordan Loveridge, Brandon Taylor, Dakari Tucker, all seniors. Jakob Poeltl went to the NBA draft. He went to Toronto Raptors, surprisingly joining our other pick last the year before in DeLon Wright. So it's kind of cool to see those guys back together. But a lot of new faces. Only two returning starters from last year in Lorenzo Bonham and Kyle Kuzma. But a lot of new faces. You've got Tim Coleman, who's a junior transfer. JoJo Zamora, who's a junior transfer. Both those guys are from community colleges. Excuse me. Cedric Bearfield is another transfer. We touched on him a little bit last week. He was with SMU. He's another guard. You've got Devin Daniels, freshman from Michigan. Parker Van Dyke, returning from his mission, so he's back, sophomore from East High. Jake Connor, son of assistant coach Tommy Connor, he's with he's played for Highland High School. David Collette, some of you guys might know him. He was with Utah State and transferred, you know, mid year. He should be available, I believe, in December this year, same as Bearfield. You got Bo Rydalk, South Summit High School, who his dad played for the Utes. Tyler Rawson is another transfer. He played for Salt Lake Community College. And so he's a 6'10 forward junior, so he's another lanky, athletic guy. Gabe Beeler is a big one. He played a little bit last year, pretty sparingly. You know, a lot of these transfer guys from community colleges, you know, they take a while to adjust, you know, to the speed of Division I basketball. And, he just didn't quite grasp it quick enough, to kind of get into the rotation. So I think, you know, he has a lot of athletic ability, a lot of talent. I think having a full year now under his belt here in the program will really help, and, we'll see where it goes. And he's from, San Francisco City College, there.
Isn't that where DeLon went?
Or? That is, yeah, yeah. DeLon went there as well. So another product from there. Big one, and this is one that Jace is a redshirt freshman. Jace Johnson, redshirt freshman, 7 feet, 235 pounds. So probably needs to put on a little bit more weight. he is a very, 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 very athletic player. You know, he didn't play at all last year, obviously, redshirt, but in the layup lines, he likes to dunk the ball. you know, so I'm very excited to see, you know, how he fits into it. You know, obviously, you've got Kuzma, Mark Reininger, who's a freshman from... Colorado, and then Jakub Jokl, who is from the Czech Republic, freshman, 6'11", 230. So another Jakub on the team. Will be exciting to see, but a lot of new faces. I mean, really, five people from last year. A complete turnover of the team. So it'll be interesting to see. We've got a pretty favorable schedule up front. The non-conference schedule is fairly easy. You've got Butler and Xavier. Those ones will be kind of our toughest matches, before we hit non-conference play. Before we hit conference play. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, what Coach K can do.
Yeah, a lot of new faces, but a lot of good size there, it looks like. A lot of guys above, 6'6 and above, and good athletes. You know, Coach K continues to recruit some good players in there, and excited to see what he does with these new guys and these new additions and these young guys. I'm excited to see Kuzma take over and, kind of be the guy there, as well as Bonham. I thought Bonham, he's a pretty good point guard. I thought he did well last season. So excited for that. I'm excited to see another Rydalch play. I love the Rydalch brothers when they played for Majerus back in the day. So excited to see their son and get another Rydalch on there. That's awesome.
That's all. Yeah, it's great. So very exciting stuff. So let's get into it. Our breakdown of University of Arizona Wildcats. I was there in the stadium in my seats. Patrick was at home watching the broadcast. We've talked about it a little bit ourselves, but we're gonna break down our thoughts for you. first quarter, first play of the game, Arizona goes deep, wide open, 75 yards, gone. First play of the game. What's going on in your head there? In my head, it was like, okay, here we go, Arizona.
Yeah, I just said, uh-oh, here comes another long game. That was so fast. That was faster than the Cal score.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to think at that point. I just thought we were in for another beatdown from Arizona.
Yeah, I was not looking forward to that at all. First half, first quarter, Arizona puts up 7 points. Utah gets a field goal, 3. We move into the second quarter. Arizona gets another touchdown, 14-3. Utah gets a safety and a touchdown to end the half. What are your thoughts on that second quarter? I mean, and even the first half, because the false starts were getting out of control. And inside the stadium, it was probably the loudest and most angry I have seen some fans. And whether they were mad at Whittingham for, apparently not prepping his players correctly, the players for making mistakes, or Arizona because all you fans seem to hate Rich Rod. maybe it was a combination of all, but the false starts were just getting ridiculous. Obviously at one point we had a 4th down and 40.
It was crazy. It just seemed like, you look at the coaches' faces on the sideline, and Whittingham's face was, was red. Usually you're looking across the way at Rich Rod and he's all red, but Whittingham's face was red during that first half, and he just had a look on his face like, what the heck is going on here?
Yep.
Those false starts nobody could figure out what was going on. Everyone was just thinking that it was, what are the Utes doing? Are they not mentally there? Did, the loss of Dillman really mess up the line that much? What's going on here? But that first half was just, it was a crazy half. The Arizona got off to a hot start. The Utes started slow, and I think the turning point in that half was that safety that seemed to really spark not only the defense, but it seemed to really spark that whole team. I think they scored the touchdown on the next drive. Mm-hmm. So that safety was definitely the turning point there for the Utes. But yeah, crazy first half, tons of penalties, false starts, just looked like the Utes were imploding before our eyes. But luckily they took it into the halftime. Coaches gave them a piece of their mind, and they came out the second half and looked like a totally different team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Utah ended up going on, let's see, so a 26-0 run after that safety. So 26 unanswered points. You know, I mean, in the stadium, you know, like I said, it was 3rd and 40, 4th and 40. We punted it, pinned them on the 1 yard line. Very next play, holding call in the end zone, and it's called not in the end zone, yeah. Which would not be a safety. Yeah. And Winningham burned a timeout. Because why would you take a half yard penalty, you know, 1st and 10 and a half when you could do 2nd and 10 and on the 1 yard line still.
Yeah.
Very next play, Tassini breaks through the line, sacks, sack for the safety. And, like I said, that fired up the team. And I tweeted out, you know, right when that actually happened, you know, let's see here if I can find it here. It really, you know, the safety was the turning point. Let me see. Sorry, everybody. Let's see here. Alrighty. Yeah, I tweeted out, with the stadium about to riot against these officials, Utah D steps up huge with a safety, 5-14 Arizona. Turning point in the game, ? We shall see. And, you know, sure enough, very next, you know, play, I believe Arizona goes 3 and out. Utah marches down the field with 0 timeouts and about a minute and a half left, and ends with a one-handed touchdown grab and a PI
yeah.
To Tyrone Smith, making the score 12-14. So Utah, you know, seemingly carrying that momentum, you know, the 9 quick scored points into the locker room with the opportunity, or with the receive in the second half. I mean, it was that first half was probably about as sloppy as you could be, between the false starts, other penalties, dropped balls or dropped passes by the receivers. I mean, there were 3 or 4 that seemed to go right through the hands of the receivers. You know, I mean, it was pretty frustrating all around, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it seemed that in that first half, it seemed like the Utes had gone away from the running game.
Yeah.
They really didn't give the ball to Shine much. It looks they were passing on most downs. And mm-hmm. I just couldn't understand that, because Shine had played so well the previous week. And mm-hmm. it just, you know, they named him the starter. And, you know, they just kind of went away from him in that first half. And when they did start giving him the ball in the second half, he, you know, did what he could do, and, you know, had another great game for him before he mm-hmm. got injured.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up with 210 rushing yards. But I believe in the first half, I think we had like 25 or something like that. It was some astronomical low number. Both in carries and yardage.
Yeah.
So going into the half locker room, I mean, I was talking with people around me at the stadium, you know, joking that, you know, they're going to be practicing their snaps and calls and stuff at the line in the locker room, you know, to fix this false start issue. Troy Williams, or actually Marcus Williams, was asked in the press conference, what did Coach Whittingham say to you guys in the locker room? And he turns and chuckles, looks at his teammates, and Troy Williams answers with a go Utes. I mean, Maybe that's what he said. I'm going to go with that was not what was said. Maybe towards the end it was, but, you know, to fix that, the problem, you know, and I believe a lot of that was, you know, probably due to Arizona, you know, stemming the line calls and in a sense, simulating the snaps, throwing the whole line off guard.
Yeah, that's when you want to, you know, have Coach Witt mic'd up so you can hear what he said, or have some cameras in there so we can see. But, you know, it was crazy. I mean, Coach Whittingham and Coach Harding shared some words on the sideline, you know, just, you know, heat of the moment stuff.
Sure.
It happens on every sideline. It's not a big deal.
No.
Coaches are competitors. They, you know, they get mad at players. They get mad at each other. They get mad at themselves. It's just part of the game. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Whittingham just wanted him to, get his guys in order and get it fixed, and they definitely got it fixed at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they did, whatever they said, they got it fixed and corrected, and they came out on, you know, as a completely different team in that second half.
Yeah, second half, I mean, we were pretty much in control, you know, no issues whatsoever. You know, like I said, we went on a 26 unanswered points. So we scored 17 in that third quarter to really put us ahead. You know, big play of the game. I mean, it made number two on SportsCenter, made number one on Pac-12 networks. Chase Hansen with the hit of the century. I mean, straight up blasted the guy right across the middle of the field. Textbook hit, you know, I mean, right in the chest, right in the ribs, you know, jarred the ball loose. The ball ended up rolling along Chase Hansen's back, hitting the foot of the receiver that Chase Hansen hit, and Marcus Williams picks it up.
Yeah, that play was amazing. I mean, Chase Hansen, he made the right move moving to defense.
Absolutely.
He is a defensive player. That guy loves to hit. He can switch between safety and linebacker. You know, if he put on a little bit more size, he could even, you know, move up to linebacker if they needed him to. But
yeah,
that guy is an animal. He's constantly making hits out there, making plays. He's always around the ball. And Marcus Williams with that acrobatic catch, I mean, that was just shows how aware he is.
Yep.
Out there as a free safety, always, you know, looking to make a play. And it was just, I mean, that hit was, they showed replays of it. You know, they threw the flag at first, but you could tell there's no way that was targeting. Yeah, it was a clean hit. He hit him with his shoulder pads and popped the ball loose, and just a great play all around for the Utes right there.
Absolutely. So, I mean, looking at our stats of the game, 23 first downs to 21 for Arizona. Total yards, Utah had 455, Arizona 475. Passing, we had 245. Rushing, we had 210. Arizona really passed the ball quite well, 348. Rushed for only 127.
Yeah, and usually in the past, you'd see those numbers flip there for Arizona. They usually are always getting like 500 yards rushing each week.
Yeah. Yep. And you've got, let's see, three interceptions. You know, Utah, again, you know, no turnovers. Something to talk about here. And we haven't really touched too much on it, but Troy Williams is making better and better decisions every single game.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't thrown in interception since what the
it's been like 13 quarters, I think,
for a long time. He I know he's had some passes that were close, but that's just part of the game. But you know, he's really stepped up as of late, not turning the ball over, not trying to squeeze it into areas that it, you know, is not going to fit in. And you know, he showed against Arizona just, you know, what type of dual threat quarterback he can be. He had, 73-yard rush in, couple touchdowns on the ground, and then, 245 yards in the air, as well as one touchdown to, like you mentioned before, Tyron Smith, that one-handed grab.
Yep.
But just showing what a dual threat quarterback he can be. A little bit scary. You don't want him to get injured, because we don't need that.
Nope.
So I was a little bit scared there when he was running wild during that second half. But, yeah, just showing what a great quarterback and leader he is.
Absolutely. A little nerve-wracking. So after game number six, Utah is 5-1. We finally got the monkeys off our back of Arizona and Rich Rod. I mean, I guess we did beat Arizona our first year, but it wasn't a Rich Rod team. So after, 6 games in, Utah is 3rd in the nation and leads the Pac-12 in time of possession, 36 minutes a game. 4th in the nation, 2nd in the Pac-12 in takeaways with a total of 15. 4th in the nation and leads the Pac-12 in 4th down conversions, 9 for 10. We didn't have any 4th downs this last game to really worth going for, so good calls there. excuse me. Tied for the Pac-12 lead in fewest sacks allowed and allowed per game. Total of 8 sacks have been allowed out of the 6 games so far for only 1.33. Number 2 in scoring defense in the Pac-12. Number 2 in sacks with 18, averaging 3 a game. Rush defense were number 3 at 119 yards. Tackles for a loss were number 3. First downs were number 3. First down defense were number 3. So, really, even though we still have a lot of, injuries or a lot of question marks on the defensive, front, not front, but I guess midfield, mid area of the linebacking core going into the season, our defense is, tops all around.
Yeah, defense is playing well. Defensive line is, been steady. Defensive backs have been pretty good most games. I know they've had a little bit of struggles here and there, linebackers as well. But overall, the defense has played great. They held Arizona's rushing game in check. They had a little bit of trouble with their quarterbacks scrambling and bringing them down. But overall, the defense played well, and they've continued to play well, and I think they'll continue to improve and get better as time goes on and continue to lead the Utes.
Absolutely. Well, I don't have anything left in a breakdown from Arizona. Witt gets his win number 100, so it's awesome to see. We get the Rich Rod monkey off our back, which is great. I know Dominique Hatfield had never beaten Arizona in his 4 years here, so it was great to see him get that win. Now he has a win against at least all of the Pac-12 teams, so that's pretty exciting. Do you have anything else for us before we jump into our Ute Qs?
The only thing that I really liked about the Arizona's game is I liked how the Utes started implementing the tight ends a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think those guys, Moyai and Harrison Hanley, can be big threats, and I'm glad they got them heavily involved last game, and I hope that they continue to do that as the season progresses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's jump into our Ute Qs.
Now time for Ute Qs, where we take your questions from Twitter and email, and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
Alrighty, so for those of you who don't know what our Ute Qs segment is, we tweet out a couple questions each week from our Twitter, at Ute Talk Podcast, and you can also email us at utetalk@gmail.com. You can also, if you have a question yourself that you want asked want to ask and have answered, ask it and then use the hashtag Ute Qs, so UTEQS. And we will do our best to answer those questions here on the show each week. and find the answers that you're looking for. So thank you for all those of all of you who have participated, and let's get right into it. So the first question here, and excuse me. So, and we can kind of touch on this in the Ute news, and as a late edition question, but so the Utes moved up three spots to number 21. Only other Pac-12 team in the coaches poll is Washington at number 5. Is the Pac-12 having a down year? You know, that, like I said, that was a late question that I had asked. Personally, I don't think it's so much as the Pac-12 having a down year as much as, you know, every team is just beating up on each other. You know, I mean, you got Colorado, you know, now playing well. Utah's obviously playing well. You know, Washington and Washington State are playing well up in the north. You know, then you got the normal teams, UCLA, USC, Oregon, Stanford, you know, starting to make some noise. And, you know, Oregon State last week gets its first Pac-12 win under Gary Anderson against Cal, who Utah lost to last weekend. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that question, Patrick?
Yeah, I just think, you know, any given week, any team can win in this year in the Pac-12. You know, it's weird seeing Oregon have such a down year like they are. USC was down at the beginning of the season, but I think they're starting to turn it around. You know, I just think, I don't think it's really a down year for everyone, but I think, you know, other teams are starting to catch up with the Oregons and the USCs, and I think you're just kind of seeing, you know, teams beat up on each other or see kind of changes of the guard where other teams are, you know, outperforming the teams that you're usually seeing there, like USC, Oregon, Arizona State, UCLA,
yeah,
and whatnot. But, you know, Washington and Utes are still ranked, and then Arizona State's ranked in the coaches' poll.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they still have three teams ranked. Stanford, you know, they're definitely struggling right now. Not sure what's up with them, but just, you know, it's just football. It's a tough conference, and
yeah,
it's a tough conference to play in. So teams are going to beat each other up, and but overall, it's pretty much anybody's for the taking.
Yeah, I'm shocked at the Stanford. You know, I mean, you got Christian McCaffrey, Heisman finalist last year. Stanford has always seemingly had a really good offensive and defensive line. You know, down in the trenches. I mean, it's shocked that they've been beat by the teams that they've been beaten by. So,
yeah, they're struggling right now, and it's kind of like people have figured McCaffrey out a little bit and have been able to kind of contain him. So it'll be interesting to see what he does moving forward.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great player, but you know, sometimes when you get figured out, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But I'm sure he'll.
Yeah,
he'll start having a better season here soon.
Yeah, I think so too. So next question we had asked, with the tough upcoming slate of Oregon State, UCLA, so two road games at Oregon State, at UCLA, and then a home game against UW, Washington Huskies. Are you concerned with the mounting injuries? Has your outlook on the season record changed? Let's see, Pogibry, I have no idea, P-O-G-I-B-R-Y. I'll go with his the name there, UD Mac Utes face. How about that? I think OSU will sneak up on us if we're not careful, but we still win. UCLA we can beat. A UW will take an A-plus game to win. J. Waddy SLC, yes, I think we handedly beat Oregon State, lose a tough, close game against UCLA, and get destroyed by UW. So he's got us one win and two losses in our next three. J. Waddy SLC. So, I mean, that, you know, going into the season, you know, you and I felt pretty good about where we were at this point. you know, neither of us had Cal as a loss. I had UCLA as a loss. You had UCLA and UW as your only two losses. So, I think UCLA is a tough one, just because it's on the road in the Rose Bowl. I personally wasn't as high on UW, seeing that they have absolutely dominated some opponents in the Pac-12 this year. I might have to rethink that. I think OSU will be a tough game. I think Gary Anderson is getting those guys, you know, mentality and a drive and a passion up there that, you know, he's trying to build a culture, and it's hard to build that within a year, but I think it's starting to come around, and it'll come around pretty quick. You know, obviously at the Rose Bowl, in Pasadena against UCLA, I mean, tough team. UCLA has definitely looked beatable, has been beaten, by some other teams, but, it'll take a tough one. It'll be a tough one for us. And then obviously home against Washington. I mean, that one's going to be, you know, like UD Utes face said, it's going to take an A+ game to win. I mean, it's going to be an A++ game to win how Washington's playing right now.
Yeah. I mean, that Oregon State Cal game, you know, that just makes that Cal loss sting a lot more, and especially the fact that Oregon State was able to put 47 points on him.
Yep.
But Oregon State, you know, and we'll definitely go over this in a minute, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to give the Utes that tough of a test, but, I mean, you never know. I mean, I didn't think Cal was going to give the Utes a test, and they won. And, you know, UCLA's, like you said, they have looked beatable. So I definitely think that's a game the Utes, you know I chalked it up as a loss at the start of the season, but I definitely think that that's a game, barring injuries and anything else going wrong with the Utes' health, I definitely think that's a game that the Utes could definitely win just after watching UCLA play.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1-2 in conference.
Yeah.
Loss against Texas A&M, and then their conference losses are Stanford, home against Stanford, and then they lost last week at Arizona State.
Yeah, and that University of Washington game, that's going to be a tough game for the Utes. And if they're not healthy, if they still have a lot of injuries, I don't see how they can win that game.
Yeah. But
it's going to be a tough game, but I'm hoping that, you know, there's Washington's top five, Utes are top 15, and I know I picked Washington to win at the start of the season, but, you know, I definitely hoping, and as the fan in me is hoping for the Utes to pull off that upset and
absolutely
get that victory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if we were the same amount of health as Washington is, I mean, I don't think they've had an injury yet that's kept them out more than a game.
Yeah.
You know, I would feel a lot more comfortable about that game, but where we're decimated by injuries, it definitely makes things a little difficult going into it. And last question that we had asked was, give us your game ball and score predictions for Oregon State University. That game is this Saturday, 2 p.m. Pac-12 Network, up in Corvallis, Oregon. So at Riser Stadium. So game ball, J.D. Haas. OSU's win against Cal was impressive, but they just don't have the explosiveness through the air to beat Utah. 27-13 with game ball going to Travis. Troy Williams. I see T-Dub,
yeah,
and I think Travis Wilson. So game ball going to Troy Williams. Thank you for that, J.D. Haas. Also, you've got S. Glaz 18, Utah 31. Oregon State 13, game ball to Tyler Crotchfield. And keep in mind, we don't have a Tyler Crotchfield on the team. He puts in parentheses here, walk-on running back we don't know about yet who will have to play. Love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you for that. I mean, that's a good laugh. It makes me think of like the Navy game where they had to pull the backup QB from the stands there. I feel at this point we're just going to start picking guys from, you know, all across the stadium. You know, who wants to play this position this game, you know? Yeah. And then we've got Ty Jensen, 801, Utah, 38, Oregon State, 19, game ball to Hunter Dimmick, 3 sacks, 12 total tackles. All right, defensive game ball there. You know, my thoughts with the Oregon State game, I think it's going to be an interesting one. We might have to pass more than run, depending on our running back situation. But I think now we have the ability to do that. Or Coach Whittingham is more comfortable with being, hey, let's just pass the ball this game. You know, maybe do an air raid offense instead of a little bit more balanced attack. I mean, if we can give some of our running backs that are kind of on the fence now another game without having to absolutely need them, that would be great. And this might be that game to do it, you know? So I think we put up some points via the throw game, hashtag throw game. You know, I'm going to go with 38. I don't think Oregon State gets more than 13 though. You know, touchdown and two field goals, maybe. Game ball, I'm going to go with Troy Williams. I think obviously if we're going to have such an aerial attack, you know, he's going to have to play a pretty good game and get the ball around to everybody. So 38-13, game ball to Troy Williams.
Yeah, I'm going to go 31-17. I think the Utes are, I do think they're going to pass quite a bit, just depending on what the running back situation is there, but I'm going to go 31-17. I don't think Oregon State's that good that they're going to give the Utes that big of a problem. I don't think the Utes are going to have another kind of letdown like they did at Cal.
Yeah.
They definitely don't want to lose against Oregon State and Gary Anderson. I think the defense is good enough to stop the rushing game of Oregon State, which is their strength.
Mm-hmm.
My game ball, and I'm going to kind of go give my game ball to, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to give it to Joe Williams. I think he's going to come back and
wow,
lead the Utes to victory.
Wow. All right. You heard it first here, people. Patrick, 31-17, game ball to Joe Williams. So, hey, who knows? He might. If he's stayed in shape, I mean, he could come back and this would be a good one to get his feet wet. So thank you, everybody, for participating again. If you have questions that you want answered, please ask. Use the hashtag UteQs, UTEQS. We will also continue to put out questions each week, and we would love and appreciate your answers to those. So thank you for your participation. Moving right along here, let's get into our Oregon State preview. Or actually, before we do, real quick, sorry, back up here. Pac-12 standings. I want to just run through those real quick. Washington sitting at conference 3-0, 6-0 overall. Washington State 2-0 in conference, 3-2 overall. Stanford 2-2 in conference, 3-2 overall. Oregon State 1-1 in conference, 2-3 overall. Cal 1-2 conference, 3-3 overall. Oregon, I mean, what's going on up there? 0-3 in conference, 2-4 overall. I mean, that's so weird to see Oregon at the bottom. Going to the south, Arizona State, 2-1 in conference, 5-1 overall. Utah, 2-1, 5-1 overall. Colorado, 2-1, 4-2 overall. USC, 2-2. Conference 3-3 overall, UCLA 1-2, 3-3 overall, and Arizona 0-3, 2-4 overall. So let's get into it. Oregon State, Riser Stadium up in Corvallis. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff, Saturday the 15th, Pac-12 networks, going against Gary Anderson. You know, Kyle Whittingham's protege. Currently, the spread is 10 points for Utah. You know, I mean, Oregon State, let's see here. Their last five, you're looking at a loss against Minnesota, a win against Idaho State, a loss against Boise State, loss against Colorado, and then they beat Cal in overtime. I mean, shocker there for me. 47-44 for that game last week, and Utah barely puts up 23. You know, I complete role reversals, I believe, in that one.
Yeah, that hurts, because you look at Cal, every team that they played has scored more than the Utes on them. So.
Yep, it's frustrating.
And Oregon State scoring 47 on them definitely makes it sting, like we said before. But, you know, Oregon State, they're 2-3. Gary Anderson's he's a great coach.
He is.
He's just, you know, he's having to rebuild that program from the ground up. And for him to be able to, it's going to take him a couple years to get his type of guys in there and get them, you know, playing like he wants them to play. But he is a great coach. You know, obviously he learned from one of the best in Coach Whittingham. And so if you look at Oregon State, their quarterback situation or their offense, I mean, they have Daryl Gerritsen, the guy from, you know, Utah State transfer.
Nope.
They're not a real big passing team. I think he has a little over 500 yards on the season.
593.
So not a big passing team, but their strength on their offense is their run game. They got a big running back. Yep. He's about 6'2", 230, I think. Ryan Nall.
Yep.
He has about 432 yards on the ground six touchdowns. So, and he had a really good run against Cal. So he's a good physical back, but they're a running team. Their receivers, you know, they're kind of like the Utes last season. They don't really have a receiver who's stepped up or who's making a lot of plays there. I think their top receiver has like 200 yards. Mm-hmm. I think Seth Collins. Yep. And then they got a Victor Bolden Jr. He just has a little over 100 yards receiving, but and one touchdown. But it's definitely a game that the Utes defense, especially their run defense, linebackers, defensive line, they're going to need to step up and stop that. And if they can, you know, make those stops and stop the running game, this, I mean, it's their game. They're not going to beat them through the air.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, looking at the stats in comparison, so Utah averages 28 points a game, Oregon State 27. On the flip side of that, Utah only allows 19 a game. Oregon State is average, allowing 33. So quite a disparity there. Total yards, Utah averages 434 so far. Oregon State is at 361. Passing, Utah is average 254 a game. Like you mentioned, you know, not a huge passing team for Oregon State. Their average is 155 passing yards. You know, I mean, that's pretty poor. That's not going to win you a whole lot of ball games. Rushing for the Utes, about 180 a game. Oregon State, 206. So, you know, they rush about 26 more yards than Utah does a game. Yards allowed, Utah allows 349 total. Oregon State, 431. Passing yards allowed, Utah is allowing 230. Oregon State's only allowing 207. So that's kind of an odd number there. And rush yards, Utah averages allowed about 119 yards. Oregon State is allowing 224. So it'll be an interesting game. Like you said, Nall, he came in, started to get some reps last year. I believe, what was her name? Stormy last year.
Yeah.
He went down, Nall played a little bit and then he came back and Nall didn't get a whole lot of run the rest of the year. But, Collins, is their best receiver right now. 24 receptions, 268 total yards. Gerritsen only has 3 touchdowns on the year. So, 593 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So he's not having a good game or good year. I mean, as far as yardage and stats go for passing, but you know, they got their first win last week against Cal. You know, that's a pretty good pretty good win to get, you know, to be honest. I mean, Cal obviously played well against us and showed us who was boss. You know, and then you've got they're 2-3 overall. So their other win, like I said, was against Idaho State, who's not a, you know, not a big team by any means. So it'll be an interesting game. It's an afternoon one. Utah hasn't really had too many afternoon games besides the Cal game. So
yeah, so it'll be an interesting game. It's going to be, you know, the Utes' main focus is going to be stopping that run game. And if they can stop that run game, you know, there's no way that they can't win this game against OSU. But just, you know, a couple of changes on the depth chart, just looking at it for this game for this week. I mean, you have Lua Fatasaga, who takes over at that starting position over Barton now. Yep. Lua Fatasaga played pretty much the whole game against Arizona, and I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So he'll continue to improve there. And then, you know, obviously the running back situation's up in the air. You got the center position up in the air. I mean, the offensive line, you know, if they wanted to, they have a great versatile player in Isaac Asiata. If he needed to play center, yeah, he could definitely play center. They could move him around, put Barton in there as well. At tackle, move Asiata to center, move Tevi over to guard or whatnot. But just, you know, that's kind of a position group that, you know, we probably won't know who's starting until game time or whatnot at center there. They could also just keep, you know, Nowakowski in there.
Yeah.
I don't think he did too bad, but.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing really is Damari Simpkins cracking the two deep there at the punt returner. I know Booby Hobbs is the punt returner, but I don't know. Booby Hobbs is, he's a dangerous punt returner, and I don't mean that in a good way. Yeah, can't seem to stay away from the ball or, you know, not make a catch in traffic. So
yeah,
I definitely think he could break one, but he's got to get some discipline back there.
Yeah,
returning punts.
Gets a little too excited, wants to make that big play.
Yeah, and I mean, one guy we definitely need to shout out, who's been playing really well, won the Ray Guy Award for the second week of the week in a row, is Mitch Wishnowski.
Mm-hmm.
The punter just can, you know, punting game hasn't missed a beat since Hackett left. Wishnowski's come in and, you know, continually puts the Utes in good spots when he's out there.
Yeah.
And just a great punter, another great find by the coaching staff. So
absolutely. I mean, on your note of, you know, the center position and moving kind of some players around, Whittingham has always made it known that he wants the best players out there, you know. So if it means that, you know, Asiata moves to center or even Tevi moves center and you bring Barton in, because Barton's essentially a starter that's playing a backup role,
yeah.
You know. Yep. I mean, and you got your fourth string center in there right now. So get the best players out there. You know, you don't want to change the movement around on that line too much because you want to build some continuity there. But, you know, when times call or times need to be, then I guess you got to do it, you know, to make some changes. But, it'll be interesting to see. Witt didn't seem like he was too high on Nick's play. I mean, I thought he played okay. Wasn't phenomenal. But, I mean, last week with Lowe, he started off pretty rough as well, you know. Lowe seems like he is on the fence with an injury. You know, maybe we give him another week to heal and he'll be back for the UCLA game, which would be really nice. But, you know, this might be a good one to get Nick a little bit more experience at that center position. You know, get his feet wet a little bit more, road test, just in case we need him the rest of the year, because you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, just a couple position groups that are going to be interesting to see how they shake out before the Oregon State game, just the offensive center position and then the running back position. So something to look forward to see how everything plays out, and see if those rumors are true, and number 28
makes a return.
Yeah,
the bat signal, I guess, you know, in reference to Kenneth Scott, maybe. Who knows? Well, do you have anything else for us, Patrick? I think I'm good. I'm excited for this week. I mean, 5-1 feels good. Utes' latest projections have been either the Alamo Bowl, or I believe Schlebach put him in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. I mean, can you imagine Utah versus Ohio State in the Rose Bowl?
Love it.
I mean, I would be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly. I would love that game. That would be awesome.
That'd be a lot of fun. So, well, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else for us?
No, just like Grant and Joseph will continue to preview the Beavers.
Yep.
Coming up Wednesday, so make sure to tune into that. But other than that, I'm excited to be 5-1 and hopefully 6-1 after this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Grant and Joseph, join them on Wednesday, part of Ute Talk, new segment midweek, statistical analysis of the upcoming opponents. So this week, we're at Oregon State in Corvallis, 2 p.m., Pac-12 Network. Get your wings ready, your mozzarella sticks, if you're me. Get those ready. I love mozzarella sticks. And my Dr. Pepper, so I'll be ready for this weekend. But thank you for listening, everybody, to Ute Talk. We appreciate your support from our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy. We will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalkPodcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.